Okay, I'm all wired up now, so everybody can hear well.
Amen.
All right. Well, I don't know about you, but I feel extraordinarily cold today. So if I start yodeling when I talk, it's because my tropical blood doesn't like the... it's not compatible with the Ohio weather, which is very near. I've been here for a long time, but honestly speaking, I had some thoughts to share this morning during worship time, but I kind of restrained myself because I was cold. Even though I'm wearing my Under Armour here, but I guess I'm getting old and become more and more difficult to handle this cold in Ohio weather. Let's turn our Bibles to John 12. Gospel according to John chapter 12. And I like to use the board because I feel confident and more satisfied and more fulfilling if I were to use the board and put my thoughts together in the written form so that I can draw your attention, and I would expect you to take notes, and then it would keep me, you know, keep us all in sync with the Word of God. So permit me to do that. John 12, and I'm going to read first 11 verses from New American Standard Version. It's actually... the preface to this chapter should begin from John 11, verse 55, but I'm going to go there in a minute. But let's start from verse 1. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there. And Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people?" Now when he said this, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box. He used pilfer what was in it. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. The large crowd of Jews then learned that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because an account of him of many Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus." Now, I want you to go back to chapter 11. And look at verse 55. And here is the... this falls into a proper place if you connect chapter 11, 55 to chapter 12, verse 1. Now remember, chapter 11 was an extraordinary chapter because there was a resurrection that took place. Lazarus was raised from the dead. And that was a very important event during that time, in that land. Nobody could believe that. Okay? So Lazarus, who was sick, and he was in the tomb, the Lord rose him from the dead. And then, verse 55, "Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves." Verse 56, "So they were seeking for Jesus, and were saying to one another, as they stood in the temple, 'What do you think? That he will not come into the feast at all?' Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was to report it, so that they might seize him." See, what happened here actually is that as Jesus performed this earth-shaking miracle, as you rose this person against all physical laws, there was a commotion that was set. these people, the law authorities and the Pharisees and the Jews who were in the garment, didn't care for that. They wanted to catch him because they thought that he's going to put an end to their Judaic law. Just before the Passover, the Lord Jesus came. Everybody thought he's going to come into the temple to proclaim himself to be a miracle worker. But the Lord Jesus was not seen there. Where was he? He went to Bethany. When everybody expected, as the Passover came, people were getting ready. And the word says they were getting ready to purify themselves. If there's one person who could purify them, it was the Lord Jesus. But they drifted away from him. And they were going to Jerusalem to purify themselves without the purifying person. And they were looking for him to kill him. But the Lord Jesus was busy in a place called Bethany. He came to Bethany. You know why? He had a very, very important mission in Bethany. That's where we're going to start. I call that as a Bethany home. Because Bethany, home, had three very important people. And they were very dear to the Lord Jesus. Right? And who are those people? Martha. Mary. Along with them, along with the Lord Jesus, his disciples followed. Okay? Bethany was a small town outside Jerusalem. This home was important because the Lord Jesus was there. Not because Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Lord Jesus came there. Bethany home represents a symbol of a church home, doesn't it? And I'll take it from there, and I'll tell you in a minute why I say that. This home was important because who resided in that home? The Lord Jesus came to that home. When he came to the room, into the home, there's a specific role that Martha played. There was a very specific role Mary played. And there was a very specific role Lazarus played. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus represent each of the believers' role in a body of believers inside the church house. See, the Bethany home can be extrapolated to the chapel, to the body of believers, where the Lord Jesus takes pleasure to be in that place. See, he is the person who's going to delegate the work of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. But the Lord Jesus has to be there. Without he being in the Bethany home, it was just an empty home. Nothing happened there. Now, he was there, perhaps looking at Martha's life and Mary's life and Lazarus' life after that main event of resurrection. Because if you look in the Word, it says that, chapter 12, verse 1. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, that the Lord Jesus had raised him from the dead. And there they made a supper for him. Normally, supper indicates fellowship, isn't it? It talks about a joyful event, an event where people can sit around and fellowship and share thoughts, share information, share some encouraging words, have laughter. Or perhaps even share your thoughts of your own innermost being, agonies. And that was going on there. Martha, Mary, Lazarus had a very important role to play there. So, if you look at Martha's life, she was what she was doing there, she was serving, wasn't she? She was a worker.
She was worker.
She worked hard. And then you see Mary to be a worshiper. And you see Lazarus in the last verse, that verse 11, he was a witness of. So Mary served, she worked hard. She worked hard. Martha worked hard. Mary worshipped, and we come to that in a minute. And we'll see Lazarus was a tremendous witness. He was a witness, he was an object of witness for people to come and see this new resurrected person. Now Martha's work was a hard work. She was working hard. Never complained, because that lady had transformed after the resurrection of Lazarus. Because if we go back and see in Luke chapter 10, there was an occasion where in the Bethany home, Martha was busy working while Mary was busy at the feet of Jesus listening. And Martha, as you know, she went and complained, said, "Why don't you let my sister come and help me? I'm working." See, there was a selfish behavior manifested in Luke 10. But here it was a selfless, hard work after what she saw in Lazarus' life. Because she was a transformed lady. Her work was very hard. Her working was also very happy. She did not grumble. And finally, her work was very helpful. She made a meal for everybody there. I wonder how many people were there. Perhaps 12 plus 1 plus 3, maybe 14, 15 people were there. Maybe more. But she worked hard. You know, in a body of believers, we are called to serve one another. We are called to work. Work with no strings attached. Work hard. And work with an attitude of helping each other, with an attitude to be able to build the body of believers, like Martha. And she worked hard. She served. It must have been a difficult time for her to do that, isn't it? When everybody was having a fun time and perhaps fellowshipping, but she was working away. Each one of us are called to do that as believers in the body of believers. And that's important. And I'm so glad. And I'm blessed to be a part of this assembly where each one of us work hard. And we're called to do that. Now, if we look at Mary, she was a worshiper, wasn't she? You see the verse 3 in chapter 12. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume and pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with fragrance of perfume. Only John, in his gospel, mentions this wonderful statement. This is also mentioned in Matthew 26 and Mark 14, but they don't use this particular phrase, what John uses. He says that when Mary broke that box of ointment, and she spilled on the feet of Jesus, and she started wiping her hair, it says the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. Last night, when I was going through my study here, you know, that particular word caught my attention. It says, John says, the house was filled with the fragrance. Think about that. Think about the intensity of the perfume. But if you look at that scene and extrapolate it to her heart of worship, her worship was so sweet, was so intense, it filled the entire room where the people were sitting. Just imagine that. The whole fragrance filled the room. Because she wanted to make her worship to be public. Okay? So her worship was completely, as well as without any hesitation, it was expressed. It was a public expression of her worship. We're called to do that, isn't it? We need to be very bold about whom we worship. We need to be very expressive in our worship, because the Lord Jesus demands it. And of course, He has owned it. Soon after this happened, there was a person who was watching her when this happened. So her worship was immediately examined. Judas, as we all know, was busy looking at her. Perhaps he was not busy looking at her. He was already having some calculations about that fragrance that filled the room. And he makes some very inappropriate comment about that. He said, wait a minute, hold off. This is not appropriate. This is a waste. You're doing this one. You could have taken this ointment or this perfume and given to somebody, some poor people. It's a waste of time, waste of money. There's always going to be examination of worship. Because Satan is interested to distract us from worshiping the Lord Jesus. He's always busy bringing accusations, perhaps bringing distraction, perhaps bringing other thoughts into our mind when we are busy unilaterally to worship the Lord. He's always bringing these topics of carnal, transient, very, very perishable thoughts to your mind. Because Judas was sitting and talking about money and the worth of the ointment. Well, Mary had gone beyond that. Her worship was priceless. Her time with the Lord Jesus was priceless. But Judas was trying to limit her into this little cost event. Her worship was examined. So, beloved, I want to tell you this morning, as we sit and reason the Word of God, Satan is not lazy. He's very busy to distract us. When we come in the morning to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan is busy to distract us. He's busy to constrain our mind and limit our ability to worship Him, because this is work. He's to be able to distract us and to take away our responsibility to worship Him. Of course, if we don't worship, guess what happens? We don't tend to grow in the Lord. And that's the mission for Satan, isn't it? If he had a chance to allow Mary to get away from worshiping, the Lord Jesus' mission to be in Bethany would have been really a bad thing, isn't it? He couldn't have accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. That's the reason the Lord Jesus, I believe, went to Bethany to set a picture of body of believers, what would happen after He leaves this earth. Because remember, 6 days from now, He would be spending time in the tomb. If you do the chronological calculations, this was the last Shabbat for being in the house. Next Shabbat would be in the tomb, because His day of crucifixion was coming. So before that happened, the Lord Jesus wanted to set up a good example at Bethany to show what would happen to the body of believers when He's gone. As he saw the work of Martha being a worker, he was also looking at Mary as a worshiper. And Satan was very busy trying to distract her through Judas. And finally, not only her worship was examined, expressed and examined, in the last one, actually, her worship was extolled. She was encouraged to worship. Verse 7. And here's what Jesus told Judas. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not have always me." See, Mary had kept this particular precious ointment for the Lord. As she saw the resurrection of her brother Lazarus, perhaps she didn't even use it for his burial. Because Mary had grown so close to the Lord, she had been so approximate to the Lord. She knew exactly when He spoke about his death, his burial, his resurrection. She took those words of truth close to her heart. So she had kept this perfume, these precious things, set aside for the Lord and for his burial, for his tomb. I would believe that she might have not even used this one for her own brother when he died, because she had set apart her life, set apart her talent, set apart her belongings for the Lord. Is that what we do in our gatherings here? Do we set apart time, our talents, and our treasures for the Lord? So that he could use it. So that he could be glorified. His work would be extended in the body of believers. It is interesting to see that when the Lord Jesus died at the near the crucifixion time, you see all of the Marys there, but you don't see this Mary at the cross of Calvary. You see the Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the Mary, the other Mary, but you never saw Mary from Bethany. You know the next time where you see Mary from Bethany was in the garden of, in the resurrection time, when she's in the garden waiting for her resurrected Savior. Because she knew that her Savior is going to live forever.
Hallelujah.
That should be our desire as we come together, that we worship a resurrected Savior. He is no more dead. You don't have to be found at the cross all the time, because he has conquered death and sin. We need to be found at his resurrection time. We need to be found with that great message that my Savior, your Savior, is true. He's risen. He's resurrected. And that's what you find. You find her. And that's the last time you find her there. In the garden, where Jesus showed himself to her. Because he loved her heart. Because it was genuine. It was filled with worship. Finally, we see Lazarus. Lazarus was perhaps a very happy man, because he had a whole different view of life now, isn't it? He had a new body, and he'd seen a miracle. Yet you don't see him to be a man who caught the attention of people right away, because he knew the person who helped him was the Lord Jesus. It was him. It was the Savior. It was his Savior who had allowed him to rise from the dead. He had experienced a very tremendous reality, isn't it? And therefore, he was able to witness a tremendous reality, a situation where he experienced life after death. And he had a reason to bear testimony for the Lord Jesus. He had a reason to be a witness. We see that also in chapter 12, verse 9. The large crowd of Jews then learned that he was there, and that was Jesus there. They came to see not Jesus, but all to see Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. See, people were very shocked that a man was alive after being dead. They came to see Lazarus. They want to see how he looked like. They want to see whether he was a demon possessed or whether he was really a person in his physical entity. They couldn't believe that. That here's a man who was dead and buried 4 days in the tomb and was raised in the Lord Jesus by his mighty power. And they want to come and see him. You know, he could have taken all the glory. He could have been the center of attraction. But Lazarus did not do that. He allowed Jesus be the person to be glorified in that home. It was not all about Lazarus. He was quietly being a witness for the Lord. And so is what we need to do in the body of believers, isn't it? We, each one of us who've been saved by grace, who have been transformed into the children of light, we've been called to be a witness for him. Because we have experienced a tremendous reality. The reality of being saved from sin and death into righteousness and everlasting life. And that's what Lazarus did. He was able to sit with Jesus and sup with him. Perhaps enjoy the relationship that he had with Jesus. And show the whole world about the tremendous reality he had. And he had a terrific testimony. Every time people saw Lazarus, he was not the same man anymore. He had a terrific testimony. He was dead. He's alive. And perhaps when people came, how it happened? I'm sure he would have taken every moment, every opportunity to tell about the Lord Jesus, how he raised him from the dead. Do we do that, beloved? Are we ready to be bold enough to tell about the saving work of Christ in our lives? Perhaps in our workplace, in schools, in the marketplace, at home, to our neighbors, family, friends, colleagues. I might be terrific with my testimony so people could see and be able to ask me the question, how is that you are so different than what I have seen other people? What is that makes you to be different? I'm sure Lazarus would have had a question when he saw those people, the Jews and the Pharisees, when they came to see him. So I had a lot of questions with Lazarus. But then, I can imagine Lazarus says, it's not me. It's him. It's not me. It's not because I was worthy to be raised from the dead. It's because of Lord Jesus. It's because of him. So this afternoon, as we sit together here, as we contemplate on this Bethany home, as a prototype of the assembly of the body believers, we need to be like Martha, working, working, working in a hard and happy and helpful way. We've got to be like Mary, worshiping him. Because our worship needs to be expressed boldly, even as it's going to be examined, and it will be extolled. And we've got to be like Lazarus, always bearing witness to the light. Bear witness to the changing power of Christ in our lives. So that our reaction is going to be tremendous. Our testimony is going to be terrific. I'm glad that we have chapter 12 in John, isn't it? We have a great place called Bethany Home. Transformed Martha was no more a complainer. Mary, as she'd been translated into be a worshiper, spent time giving away her best of best for the Savior. Resurrected Lazarus was never the same. He had a tremendous witness and a testimony. May the Lord add his blessings to word, and I want to encourage each one of us, even as we leave this place, let us know that we belong to King of Kings. He is in the midst of us. He wants to live with us, for he alone receives all the glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the person of Christ, our Savior, your dear Son. We thank you because he came and bore my sins. And not only that he bore my sins, but also gave me a great hope of eternal life through his resurrection. And we thank you for this home called Bethany Home, where you installed and instituted the forthcoming body of believers, the church, where we need to be like Martha and Mary and Lazarus, working for the kingdom of heaven, worshiping for you alone to receive all the glory, and to be able to bear witness for your name, because you have changed us, you have transformed us, and we have a terrific life to live. Father, we pray that each one of us here, as we belong to you, help us to bear your name in a way that will bring glory and honor to you. Take us home, take us to a different places where we can look at your work in our lives and being able to be beacon for you. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.